Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Podcast. Let's Talk Podcast is a Christian-centric platform where we see conversations through Christ's eyes. Let's Talk Podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network where we have conversations in life through the lens of faith. And this morning, we get into episode number 55, going on with a series on LGBTQ. My name is Mike Arodi, and in the studio, I'm with Stanley Kabuka and Steve Mwendia. Karibuni sana, gentlemen. Steve, how have you been?
I'm happy to be here today to continue with this wonderful discussion that we continue. We started.
It's good to have you again, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for showing up again.
We can't wait to talk.
And with more strength. Clearly, you are full of energy.
I think I'm more at ease with the environment, these studio things. So I'm not even, I think we can engage more now.
We can engage more. Thank you, Steve. Stanley Kabuka, how have you been, bro?
I have been well since the last day we met. Yeah, and like Steve, I'm also getting used to this studio. Mm. To this second episode of our series. Mm-hmm. Trying to understand... obviously the distortions of the created order and the image of God. Mm-hmm. Yes, and to delve deep on what the scripture says to the prepositions and the beliefs of what we're talking about today.
We'll be looking at the image of God in light of all these things, in light of LGBTQ in this particular episode. I mean, we're looking at the struggle, the same-sex struggles in light of the scripture, what is the Bible saying about this? And we hope that as you go on this conversation, God will see us through just to be clear enough and to be part of, not the people who are silent, but people who come out openly and give the biblical direction the same. And Steve is here with us. I don't know, Steve, you'd mentioned perhaps about it's not necessarily theory for you, you know, and I think in the last episode we said that in passing. I mean, what exactly do you mean by saying it's not theory? And exactly. What will do you? I'm looking for the best time to face the question.
I think the question is home.
Thank you.
It's not theory. It's an experience. As I said in the other episode, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I also affirm in the biblical sexual ethic, mm-hmm. which I would say is sexual relations are directed in the Bible to mm-hmm. be. The words are failing me. I want to be enjoyed, but to be stewarded in. Male, female relationships, mm-hmm. opposite genders. Mm-hmm. So I affirm that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. I have experienced attractions mm-hmm. significantly towards mm-hmm. my same gender. Mm-hmm. So towards other guys. Mm-hmm. So it's something I've wrestled through.
Yeah.
Since then, I'm still in that journey, mm-hmm. Really understanding what I feel, mm-hmm. In view of also scripture. I long to hold scripture high every other time, mm-hmm. and so it's been a journey. So it's a journey for me. Mm-hmm. Even when I talk, I'm talking from a place of a journey. Mm-hmm. I've been within God, mm-hmm. and also I would say with myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and. How has it been for you, Steve, especially in a culture that is quite conservative? You know, it would be different when you say this in US, for example. It is normal. It's becoming a normal culture in US. I mean, how was it for you, rather just coming out openly and sharing this struggle? And, I mean, was it a good thing, you know, not necessarily good per se? As in, was it you know, like, okay, you're struggling with this, we can help you here and there, we are sorry, and don't worry, this hope. And I mean, how's the response from the society?
I think I'm still not out. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking in a podcast, and so I'm still not out. But I'm still not out. I'm out in some way, mm-hmm. because I write. By the way, mm-hmm. I write in a, I blog in a website, WordPress, mm-hmm. a website called thequestionofsexuality.home.blog. Mm-hmm. So I would say I'm much out there, mm. and now to the few moments when I get to talk about it. Mm. I think for me, I was never set to, as you have heard, it's something I didn't even know what this is. Mm-hmm. I remember in Form 3, when I first had the courage mm-hmm. to take my phone and hide and write, is it normal for a man to be aroused mm-hmm. by another man? Mm-hmm. I was a believer, I wasn't, you know, doing anything with anyone, but mm-hmm. I had this internal wrestling that mm-hmm. I could not understand, mm-hmm. and that I kept that hidden mm-hmm. for a long time, mm-hmm. struggling with it. At one time, you know, leading almost to depression, mm-hmm. Moments of you know, wanting to be, you know, I'm a Christian, I really want to serve God, mm-hmm. but there's this wrestling I'm experiencing, which no one, I don't know anyone else who feels this. Mm-hmm. So the feeling was, okay, so God, I don't know. I can't run away from this, but mm-hmm. also I can't stop being a Christian. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, for me, it was much until sometime back in 2019, mm-hmm. when God spoke to me mm-hmm. through reading a book by someone who was wrestling with this. Mm-hmm. And you know, I tried all things, like I tried praying, fasting, and all that, you know, and maybe this is why I talk about it. Mm-hmm. For me, in those moments of wrestling, I had two voices, one which told me, this is just, you know, pray about it, fast about it, mm-hmm. get laid hands by that man of God, and it should be gone. And then even after doing that, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, the struggle of, am I not having faith enough? Mm-hmm. Am I even a Christian enough? Mm-hmm. So getting to despair, but other voice, which was also was telling me, you know what, this is you, mm-hmm. be you, accept you. You have tried all you can, man, stop hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. Just be you. Mm-hmm. And the stories of men and women that are, persisted much in the Christian faith and then came out later in their life. I remember someone telling me, when I was in first year, in fact, mm-hmm. him telling me, do you just want to waste your life and then 60 years later come out? Just live your life, man. And for me, I think there was a conviction in my heart that there's what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. So 2018, I was at a bad place, mm-hmm. really, wanting to quit everything, including life. Mm-hmm. But then when God spoke to me through reading that book of someone who was saying, you know what, mm-hmm. this has been my experience. Mm-hmm. I'm walking with God, but the hope has are found. Mm-hmm. One of his the text he was using is where, you know, Paul calls to God upon this, in regard to this dawn in his flesh, mm-hmm. when he says, I have prayed, you know, three times, asking God to take away this stone. Then we know it wasn't homosexuality or anything, but it was a place of comfort, of you know, seeking God for this thing which is tormenting you, a messenger from Satan even. But then God responding to Paul and telling Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made manifest in your weakness. The guy says, the book is called Washed and Waiting by a guy called Wesley Hill. He says, you know what? Whether these attractions go away or not, mm-hmm. I will serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whether these attractions go away or not, I believe even in this experience, I'm able to experience God. So for me, then I was like, wow, I'm sure there's another young man, woman somewhere who is wondering, am I myself, am I alone? Or, you know, they're wondering, how do I live out this? Do I need to, you know, to do away with my life because no one struggles like me? You know, how is there a model for faith? Does it mean that I will, when I grow up, I will end up living the faith like this and this? About, I think my feeling was, I think I'd want to give hope to someone. And so I talked at the moment, my coming out, if I can use that word, isn't primarily on standing to you know, to proclaim the world, yo, see, this is who I am. I like it, or no, that's not what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. My desire is to be, you know what? I believe this story is able to bless someone. Mm. And also, I mean, allowing people to into my life to just be a blessing also. I have found a lot of support. Mm-hmm. But people who are like, you know what? Let's see how we can support you. Let's see how we can pray for you. Mm. And so for me, it's been that.
Wow, it's been that. Instant, quite some listening here today. Stan, do you know someone, a friend or someone perhaps, either lay agent with the same struggle, same sex struggle?
Not in person, but I knew a lady. Mm-hmm. Her name is Rosaria Butterfield. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. She went through the same struggles. Mm-hmm. And I think it also persists even after her coming to the faith. Mm. And it's just a constant laying of our desires at the cross of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. I think also I have listened to a discussion on the same topic, I think from the Gospel Coalition, of a lady who also has the same struggle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... Yeah, so not, I do not know a person, an individual.
No, you know one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that has been my experience. Mm-hmm. I have read a couple of Rosaria Butterfield's writings, her story, how she came to the faith, you know, how she was invited by this Presbyterian pastor, and, you know, and what God was able to do. Mm. Yeah.
What God was able to do. And... I don't know if the lady you talked about in the Gospel Coalition is Jackie El Perry. I don't know. Is she the one? Steve, you know Jackie El Perry?
Obviously. The gay girl, good God. Jackie is awesome.
Wow.
Anyone who gets a book should just read it.
What's awesome. The name of the book again?
Gay Girl, Good God.
Gay Girl, Good God.
Yeah.
Jackie El Perry also shared the same struggle. Was in a serious gay relationship for 1 year, 2 years. And she said the struggles were there even after her marriage. Mm. Like, so just again, clearly showing the sin in us. Mm. But we've got to battle with it to the grave. Mm. Every day, I'm going to the foot of the cross. And I was just, you know, crying for grace in the times of need, that God would help us. Now, there is it, Steve. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are these desires, same-sex desires, okay? Then this was happening. Beyond that, you know, there's the issue of transgender. You know, I'm a man physically, but I feel within men, you know, can be, I'm a woman, and all these things. Now, what is... God saying concerning this? What is the word of God saying concerning all these issues? So that we have a careful examination of the scripture in response to these issues. Yeah.
One thing I
but thank you, Steve, for sharing.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you so much. I didn't say thank you. It's not something like anyone will do. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you also for the space.
Yeah.
Just knowing you can say that and you won't stop the recording.
Yeah.
So then,
and I just so you can't move on.
No, can't go. So thank you for that.
Okay, yeah.
I think when you come to the Bible, in the past, and maybe let me start from here. Mm. In the past, the Christian response to all this has been, you know, it's something the LGBT community calls, oh dear Lord, I'm forgetting the name. There are seven verses, and there's a name they call it. I have forgotten. But they come with the verses and throw them and hammer them to people. Oh dear, I can feel the name in my head, but it's not coming. That's where I want to come. But the... in the past, it has been, you know, taking a verse and like see, which in many ways hasn't been very beneficial. Mm-hmm. Not because the word does not have power, not because the word is not true, but because anytime we use the word of God as a weapon, instead of rightly dividing it and presenting it to be the truth that God wills it to be, with, you know, with life and all that, we end up blocking people. So as we come to biblically, there are, I think, 6 verses that touch specifically on same-sex relations, especially. Mm-hmm. There is a verse in Genesis, Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. I know people, everyone knows about that. There is a verse almost in the, I think, Exodus, I think.
It's Leviticus.
Oh, Leviticus. 18:22. Yeah, 18:22. There are 2 even in Leviticus. Mm-hmm. There's one which speaks about a man should not lay with another man as one lays with a woman.
Yeah.
The other one says, even on the same, that's, mm-hmm. This is what will happen. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to, I think, Judges, mm-hmm. there's a story of this guy who went almost the same story which happens in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Someone was giving a place to stay, mm-hmm. and then it's usually the Bible says this man came, they call them worthless men came, mm-hmm. and they wanted to sleep with the man, and then the host. Oh, it's almost the same story if you have not read this in Judges.
Judges, okay.
And then they take the concubine of that person and rape her, mm-hmm. and until she dies in the morning. And then there are others in our New Testament. Mm-hmm. Romans is famous, mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verse 26 to 30, 18 to 32. Mm-hmm. It's basically 26 as well. It touches that. Mm-hmm. I think Timothy also has has that. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians,
yeah.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, yeah.
Yeah, it also has verse that. So there are those verses, mm-hmm. that are often used. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I approach it, this discussion of Bible and sexuality, mm-hmm. I think for me, giving a holistic gospel, mm-hmm. means a lot. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, starting from Genesis 1, mm-hmm. about, you know, Genesis 1 to Revelation, mm-hmm. I think for me that's how I would start it. Mm-hmm. I would just allow someone to say something and then we can continue. Mm-hmm.
Stan, I mean, this is what's happening, and thank you, Steve, for that. Thank you just for that response. And Stan, this is what is happening. We see it happening. And how do we respond to this? And what's God saying concerning these issues in His Word?
I think first of all is to know what their beliefs are. Mm-hmm. And if we, I think, keenly check their beliefs, I think they're anchored in relativism. Mm-hmm. They say that truth is a social construct, mm-hmm. right? So that truth is relative. Mm-hmm. Right? What is your truth is not my truth, mm-hmm. right? So that's why they would call heteronormativity, mm-hmm. as, you know, as a cultural bias. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that would have the genders defined, confined to fall into either male or female, you know, mm-hmm. and that sex ought to be between man and woman, mm-hmm. right, as mm-hmm. God rightly says in His Word. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the major things that is being distorted here, mm-hmm. is the image of God, how He has made us. How from His Word, as we have mentioned, He has made us male and female, mm-hmm. and how marriage was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And obviously we are seeing distortions of it in these communities, mm-hmm. right? So another thing is about obviously biblical anthropology, mm-hmm. and who we are as human beings, how we were made, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what's really our issue? We know about the pervasiveness of sin, mm-hmm. and how we are totally depraved, right? Mm-hmm. Like sin is so pervasive to mm-hmm. the core of our being, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So there are various distortions mm-hmm. about the biblical design for who we are, mm-hmm. and what we are supposed to be. what is the elephant in the room? What are we supposed to be fighting here? Yeah, so our response would be to affirm clearly what the Bible says about us, because we are made. There is objective truth, right? Yeah, and to fight with every effort that we have this thought of truth being something that is just a social construct that can be susceptible to changes within our culture. Yeah, and to fight it with all the might that we have. Yeah, I think I will say that for now.
Thank you so much, Stan. And yes, Steve? Okay, thank you so much. I think in light of all these things, looking at the scripture, I mean, it's important that we have a very careful approach, so that we know exactly what we are dealing with, okay? So that in as much as this is a sexual sin, I'm careful so that I don't think I'm better as I deal with it. I'm not coming as a, you know, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner as I approach this thing. I also have my own, you know, struggles of sin. I think, therefore, if we look at the scripture, then for anyone in this struggle, for anyone in this struggle, first for a believer, is for me, think to accept their sin, to go before God in confession, and cry for mercy, and cry for mercy, as David will do so in Psalms 51, and pray that God will do all that it takes. You know, David is crying for that God will blot it out. He goes ahead and says that thoroughly wash me. He says cleanse me, clean me with hyssop. So I think for a believer is to identify the sin, and if there's a struggle, and not to give up, but to put his hope in the cross, because on the cross Christ bled and died for our sins, and he said it is finished. So it is finished, meaning that any fight that I'm going to engage in from this point moving on, it's out of victory. So I'm gonna win. I'm not going to give up. So accepting the sin in me, and fighting that. 1 Corinthians 6, which we just mentioned, will say that we were of those category. Yeah. As you know, maybe just to read it. 1 Corinthians is the Bible. Okay. 1 Corinthians 6.
Let's read. Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6:9, I think.
And that is what some of you were.
Yeah.
But you are washed.
Yeah.
You are sanctified. Uh-huh. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. And by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah, so it's justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because for those of us who are there now, it's not because you overcame those. We're justified in the name of our Lord. Not in the account of us overcoming that, because so long as you're in this, there's nothing good that we can do. And sin is within us, Paul would say so. But now being saved and being sanctified, we become new people. And Stan?
Okay, we just to read something here from Joe Carter, from the Gospel Coalition. Quote, "The Christian worldview is, in the parlance of queer theory, heteronormative. The Bible clearly presents gender and heterosexual sex within the bounds of marriage as part of the goodness of God's created order. Outside of the God-ordained form of a man-woman marriage, all forms of heterosexual and homosexual engagement, as opposed to temptation to same-sex or opposite-sex desire, are clearly forbidden by Scripture." Right? Yeah, so that even more clarifies this issue.
Yeah. Steve, please read your point on the same.
Just affirming what has been shared. I'm glad when I talk about this and say that God created everyone in a perfect image, put them in the Garden of Eden. Wonderful people created to worship him. But then Genesis 3, things happened. Man rebelled. And so for that reason, we are sexually broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any person, if you are a believer, then this is something that all of us should affirm, that we are sexually broken. That means the one who is having same sex sexual feelings is not more broken than the one who is having heterosexual feelings in ways that are contrary to scripture. Because, you know, from scripture we know, as I said, sexual relations are supposed to be stewarded in opposite sex marriage. So anyone who is doing it either any other way, anyone who is sexually pleasing themselves, watching stuff, anyone who is you know, fornicating, they are wrong. I mean, it's not okay. So sex is not just something that I can define or redefine. If you're a believer, we need to come to God and allow Him to guide us. But also saying that some of the questions that people often ask are, this is what we have. We know that the scripture was written a long time ago. Did it have a concept of orientation? Some of the discussions which have been there, someone will say, you know, if you look at Romans chapter 1, someone will say, you know what, Paul had in mind a Greco-Roman world that was full of molestation. Paul didn't have an idea of committed monogamous same-sex relations. Some other people, you know, will bring ideas of, you know, if I feel this way, and if I can't take away what I feel, then why should you tell me to, like, you know, they say a person who is attracted towards the opposite gender has a chance of consummating what they feel by marrying someone. So there's another person here who is experiencing same-sex feelings. They have prayed and all done all that and is still persisting. So when you tell them not to pursue them, you are kind of sentencing them to, you know, to as a place of hopelessness and all that. My quick response, which is the second one, is one, you know, if you understand, if I'm a Christian, as I said, I understand my brokenness, that's why I come to the cross and experience salvation from God, which is a word called justification. And so, yeah, I'm justified before God. But two, also to understand the journey, which some of you have highlighted, the journey of sanctification, the journey that entails understanding that you will be tempted, but also knowing that God is able to give you victory. The journey that knows that God is able to enable you to steward what you feel in ways that honor God. And so looking at all that, and I'm saying that because I come from a place where, as Christians, we easily forget the Bible speaks into a broken people, all of us, but also a people that have been saved by Christ, but also a people that are in a journey. So we easily forget that. And so there's this Christian on this side who will be like, you know what, it's easy, stop this and you know, become heterosexual and you'll be good to go. And so you see an exhortation of, because, I mean, I know, yes, this is how it's supposed to be, but not all forms of heterosexuality are glorifying God. And so we may easily diminish the fallenness of man and exhort heterosexuality in ways that are more towards what favors us, more than even what is put in the scripture. Then there's the other side that will feel, you know what, this what I feel, and I believe God cannot condemn me by what I feel. I think for me, coming to the scriptures and understanding the spirit behind every text, which is a God who has seen our brokenness and who is pulling us all to Him. And so we don't get a chance to define, or the culture does not get a chance to define what we do or who we are, but more on, you know, what does God want me to do? What does the Bible say I am? Yeah, I think I've said so many things.
So you have this happening whereby, and number one is this problem of same-sex attraction here, or homosexuality. So how, this is how we approach it. We approach it as a people who are not homosexual, we are heterosexuals. And we think because of that, they are wrong. You see, the danger is that we see this, these people, there's a sexual problem there. We don't approach that in light of the scripture.
Mm.
We don't say, oh goodness, this is a deceptive, this is a deceitfulness of sin. And this is what God says concerning sin.
Mm.
If you're just trying to summarize what you said, we don't approach, you don't say, hey, here's the Bible is saying that for you, are this way, this way, but now you have been sanctified. For us, we come and say, how come these people are this way? I mean, how in the world do you? So I think how we approach this one matters a lot. And Stan, your parting shot, even as we jump into the next episode.
Okay, thank you. I think one of the ways, or to respond to some of the critics that you have said, you know, Paul was not new in mind. You know, first of all, we affirm that the scripture is God breathed.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to affirm the sufficiency of the scriptures in this, right?
Yeah.
And just as a parting shot. It's just to continue to read what Joe Carter has written in the Gospel Coalition concerning this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he says, "The true Christian response to those who are tempted by same-sex desire
mm-hmm.
or suffering from gender identity confusion is to apply a gospel-centric expression of care,
mm-hmm.
concern, and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
This requires, first of all, that we tell the truth about mankind and sin,
mm-hmm.
and that we see people as God sees them rather mm-hmm. than through their own preferred self-distorting labels mm-hmm. and worldview.
Mm.
There are no LGBTQ people,
mm-hmm.
only men and women made in the
mm-hmm.
image of God
mm-hmm.
who are suffering from the consequences of the fall and their own sin.
Mm.
We do our friends, family, and neighbors
mm-hmm.
no favors
mm-hmm.
by affirming what God says
mm-hmm.
says must be renounced."
Mm.
Unquote. I think that would be my parting shot.
There are no LGBTQ people,
mm.
only are people who are suffering the consequences of a fallen world. You know, I couldn't get the exact words, but that was powerful.
Mm.
Stan, Steve, what would be a parting shot?
That was quite a quote. I'm still thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, especially because I know there's a whole discussion
yeah.
on should people identify,
mm-hmm.
You know, with all that.
Mm.
And so that could be a discussion for the next episode,
mm-hmm.
But I think I can affirm the first part
mm-hmm.
of what the mm-hmm. quote you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gospel-centered
mm-hmm.
approach
mm-hmm.
is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And a gospel-centered approach,
mm-hmm.
as I started saying,
mm-hmm.
does not jump to the seven verses
mm-hmm.
When they encounter
mm-hmm.
Someone who is LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
They start from the wholeness of the scripture,
mm.
From salvation,
mm-hmm.
from stewardship of our sexuality, from why God says this
mm-hmm.
more than even this is what it says, why God says that,
mm-hmm.
what is the gospel vision behind this.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, that would be very key.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell that person who could be listening and
mm-hmm.
Is LGBT
mm-hmm.
Or feeling, that you know, God sees you.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you, and that he wishes to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible is not written. So there's a guy called Sam Albury
mm-hmm.
who has written a book on "Is God Anti-Gay?"
Mm-hmm.
And says God is not anti anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel has come to all of us,
mm-hmm.
and the will of God is that the gospel may pull us closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can see the greater vision of God, which is not basically to just take away from you the joy that you need in life,
mm-hmm.
but more as your creator who created you, who knows you deeply, and who wants you to experience Him,
mm-hmm.
and then we can all listen to the gospel
mm-hmm.
and allow God to shape us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe if we are gospel centered,
mm-hmm.
we there's much in God
mm-hmm.
that anyone can offer,
no.
than even whatever anything can offer.
Mm.
And we can exalt God
mm.
in all this. So please, hear the invitation of God to walk with you in your life doesn't exactly, I mean, it doesn't exactly mean anything, but I want to tell you that if you work with God, he is better than many Christians that you have seen, and his word is more life-giving than how you feel many times, maybe when you come to read it and you feel this is a Bible, it's a book just meant to condemn me. So see God and see his will for all of us as human beings, and seek to just experience his embrace. Man.
Wow, thank you so much, Stanley. Steve, what is the gospel? What is the gospel-centered approach in all these issues? Please join us in the next episode, even as we culminate this important series. And thank you so much for joining us. Please share this with your friends, loved ones, and families that you have. Till next time, we say
bye.